Love a rugby league same game multi? Then you've got to check out Picklebet same game multi. Watch your odds and payouts skyrocket when you combine your favorite team's markets, like head-to-head, first try scorer, and winning margin. Picklebet, the next-gen betting app and official sponsor of the NRL All-Stars podcast.
What are you really gambling with?
For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
To another episode of the NRL All-Stars podcast. Barnsley here. This week's TLT Supercoach episode, jam-packed with goodness. We've got lots coming up to discuss. Particularly good strategy talk as well that I think is really relevant at the moment around points versus cash generation. It's a big issue at this point of the season. These decisions really shape your rounds now, and certainly when we're looking at going through seven rounds already, it's an opportune time to talk about that. So we'll be chatting about that. We'll be chatting about TLT as well. And we'll also be looking at Market Watch, as always, looking at all the popular trades and everything. Everyone would have heard the ad at the start, though, for Picklebet. Make sure that you use All-Stars as your promo code if you want to sign up with Picklebet. But the important thing with that is that they've got so many offers at the moment. It is absolutely ridiculous. I mentioned last week that the NRL offer for Picklebet, same game multi offer, up to $50 back in bonus bets if one leg fails. That's phenomenal. It is still there again this week. But you can actually do the same offer on AFL and NBA as well. So if you like the basketball playoffs, or certainly if you like the AFL, then jump on those too. You get up to $50 back in bonus bets if one leg fails on any of your same game multis. But they've got some great odds at the moment on Picklebet there for this week for the AFL, NBA. Also, obviously, the NRL as well. So jump on picklebet.com, give them a look, have a look at some of those offers. When you sign up, if you use All-Stars as your affiliate code, they'll know that you came from this podcast and take great care of you. But moving along with the round, this is going to be a solo podcast this week, so it's going to be a little bit shorter. Just a few time constraints for me, unfortunately, with work commitments and everything else, and being able to get a time for a guest and things like that, it just didn't fit in. So I do like to do some solo ones every now and then, and this is going to be a week where we do that. Going to talk about strategy first of all. Now, at the moment, when we look at the trade market, there is a lot of conjecture around who to get because we have so many cheapies that have popped up. It's a strange season in that we started off not knowing if we would have very many cheapies at all. We didn't have a huge amount to start off with, one of the leanest round one TLTs that we've had over the last sort of 5 or 6 years. But there's been an abundance of cheapies and mid-priced cash cows pop up. I think that's to do with the carnage. We've seen a lot of carnage the first month of Football Plus in particular. There's been a lot of guys out, and that's through suspension, it's through injuries. One of the upshots of that happening, though, is whilst it sucks to have guys out, it does give opportunities to other players, and there is a fair few long-term injuries and suspensions as well that have impacted things. So it means that we've got all these cheapies. Now, certainly a lot of first-year coaches, but also second, even third-year coaches, are probably a little bit inexperienced with seeing it like this, and you might be tempted to go and jump on every cash cow you can, boost up to get three cash cows in that are all going to make money. It's understandable. Certainly, if it's round three or four, that's a great tactic, and it's what you want to be doing. We're hitting in round seven now. Now, round seven is past a quarterway point of the season. At some point, you have to make sure that you're balancing scoring points too. Because if you leave your run too late, you're just not going to score enough points to be able to catch up in the overall ranks or to hit your goals that you want to hit. And at this point in the season, I think that you need to prioritise points more than what you have been for the first 5 or 6 weeks. And that's really important. So what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is I would not be getting in everybody with a negative break even at the moment. So certainly you have to pick and choose. Kale Iroh has the best negative break even. He's the number one most traded in player. He makes sense as one of your cash cows. If you get him, I wouldn't be getting another guy if you're only using two trades this week. I'd be getting points because this is also a week where there's huge points on offer. There's a lot of really good buys and there's a lot of matchups that are going to produce big points. And we've been seeing big scores. Like in round six, there were some popular players that came through with some big scores like Joey Manu with 117. Daily Cherry Evans 103, Mulatalo 110. There was also some pod buys too. Like 2 weeks ago, I was really keen on Daniel Tupou. He scored 131 on the weekend. Josh Adokar out of nowhere in 2% of teams scored 162. There's also been some other buys as well that have scored really well for their position. So Hudson Young, I actually had on my run sheet to talk about last week because I really liked him as a buy. But we basically ran out of time, so I left him out. And I was considering him or Eli Katoa, and I went Katoa. I was really considering Hudson Young, and he's gone up 50K this week after scoring 101 points. You know, he's another guy that had good matchups. There was a good price for you to buy points. So if you just go for the cheapies and you just go for cash generation only, you're going to get a lot of guys in that score 30s or 40s. We've seen that with Olam, you know, even though he started well, he had back-to-back weeks of 30s, generated some cash, but wasn't really worth it, and you didn't get any points from it either. You know, so I think that the important message is if you've set your team up well enough and if you've gone for cash early on, you don't need to be going just for cash all out at this point. You can be going for points, and you need to be going for points because you've got to score well. You've got to beat the other team's point scoring. So I personally would say that if you've got most of the major cheapies so far, so certainly the big cash risers of like a, you know, we've got Galvin, we've got Schiller, we've got Strange, we've got a lot of guys that have gone up a heap of cash, even a couple hundred thousand for Bostock at the moment. If you've hit on all these guys, you don't need to be continuing on just buying cheapies or cash generation players. You really should be looking towards points and really sticking the nail in the rankings and rising up and up and up now, particularly heading into that first buy. So for me, I think there's probably a few too many teams that are prioritising making cash over points. So I think you've got to balance it pretty 50-50. And I would say if this week, like if we didn't have an Iro, I certainly wouldn't be, you know, pushing to have to get cash generation from these other guys. Iro is one of those guys that's going to make so much money at the moment that you just, I think you have to choose him regardless, but then look at other points. Bronson Cherry is a good example. So he's getting traded into a lot of teams at the moment. Only a, you know, reasonably small negative break even at minus 22, and he's 345,000. He's not guaranteed to make 100K at all. So, I mean, I would no way be trading him in because it's just not worth it, and he doesn't have that points upside that some of the other purchasers have at the moment. So that's probably a good example that I'd leave teams with. But certainly, I'm balancing point scoring and I'm balancing cash generation at the moment. And in the next few weeks, I'm going to flip that around because certainly before the halfway point of the season hits, before the buys hit, you just want to be going all out for points and starting to buy these players at a value because we're going to get a lot of guys that are actually going to be dropping. Like a Greg Marju, for example, in a couple of weeks is going to be a super juicy price. And there's heaps of players in that boat. So set yourself up for sure, but make sure that you'll be able to flip that switch and be able to go on to point scoring rather than cash generation pretty soon. Moving along to Market Watch. Traded out's really easy. So, I mean, look, there's been that many injuries, like I mentioned, with all the carnage. You know, Hammer, Ben Trbojevic, Zach Hosking, Thomas Flegler, Cam Murray is on a buy at the moment. You know, there's a lot of really easy sells. And there's some guys that are probably pretty easy to sell even though they are playing. So Drew Hutchison being one. Jack Bostock's going out of a lot of teams. He's got a break even in the 50s. He has made 200K. So it makes sense to get rid of him as well. Luke Brooks, he's an interesting one in the top 10 most popular tradeouts. I understand people doing it, but in saying that, I would actually hold him. Like, I wasn't a big fan of getting Brooks in, but he has lost 43K off his starting price at the moment. He only has a 54 break-even, though, and he is playing the Gold Coast Titans this week. That is a phenomenal matchup. And look, can I tell you as well, like Luke Brooks has obviously not been a prolific Supercoach scorer. He's only scored tons against five teams, and the Gold Coast Titans is one of those. And they actually hold his equal best score ever was against the Gold Coast Titans. And that was when he's playing for the Tigers. So, I mean, I think most people expect Manly to do a number on the Gold Coast Titans, or at the minimum, even if it ends up being a close game, to put on a lot of points. If I had Luke Brooks, I'd be pretty excited about it for this week. So I would not be trading him. He's been scoring underwhelmingly, but it's probably been understated. Like, he had 29 points in round four, sure. But the other rounds, he's got 59, 80, 53, 55, 49. He's actually been pretty solid. His base is terrible, but he still manages to throw out these solid scores. So you'd think, like, at worst, he's going to hit his break even. But he's got the upside to do a, a 90 pluser against the Titans if you get some clutch attack in there and they score a lot of points. So I don't love trading him out at all, and I think the teams have enough other guys to cash out of. Sean Lane, really popular trade at the moment, is going to be him out to Angus Crichton. He's only made 26K, has been underwhelming, break even of 58, which, you know, he's only hit two of his games so far out of six. Not great. I still hold out some hope for Sean Lane. I do like the matchup this week. They're actually playing in Darwin, which is probably going to favour the Dolphins more than what it's going to favour the Eels. But in saying that, he's going to be running at an edge where I think that he can score some points. And likewise for Manly the next week, you know, that's a decent matchup for him. It is at Four Pines, unfortunately, but he loves playing Manly. It's his ex-club, and I find that he gets up for them. He has got his second highest score ever against the Manly Seagulls, and third highest. I am holding Sean Lane myself. If people don't have anyone else to trade out, I understand doing it. I certainly think that Angus Crichton's going to be a better points player, and he's going to make more money straight away. So if you can't get Angus any other way and you want Angus, then that makes sense. But I don't think that Sean Lane's a must trade out. And at some point in the next few weeks, I expect him to score a try and to start to get going. I did think that the Eels looked much better with Arzy in the halves. And I think that that's going to help Dylan Brown, and that's only going to help Sean Lane as well. So I wouldn't be rushing to trade him out like some of these other guys. Trade-ins. I mentioned Kale Iro. He should be the number one most traded in player. He is a minus 76 break even. Very much like Schiller the week before, it doesn't really matter about his job security. And I was a little bit perplexed at people not seeing Schiller as a must-have, perhaps, or seeing some downside potentially in him if he's not named in the future and stuff. If a guy's going to make 100K in a week, you don't care if he's going to get dropped the next week. Like, that is the sort of money you wait 4 or 5 weeks to make on a lot of players. The other positives with Iro as well is that he's actually looked really good. And he's a guy that hasn't been playing first grade, but he's not exceptionally young either. He's been on the fringe for a few years. He probably could have started playing first grade 2 or 3 years ago, but he just hasn't been able to get into the team. So what that means for Iro is that I think he's pretty well seasoned and ready. And the most impressive thing for me is his base has been really good. So he's got almost a 40 raw base in his first two games, 36 and 42. That's exceptional. Last week he got no attacking stats and he still managed a 46 against Souths. So he's got a really good floor at the moment. Against the Cowboys at home this week, you'd expect him to be able to score enough to get 120K probably. And then the next week he's away at GIA versus the Raiders. And then St. George Illawarra Dragons is a good matchup at points bet for him. So he'll probably score a try at least once in the next three games. He'll probably make between $150,000 and $200,000 in the next few weeks. And that is too much to not get him in for, even if you've got some job security issues. Because you have to think, at worst case, he's going to start this week and make 100, 120K. And if you need to trade him next week, you can. I think that the downside that people are looking at is, well, will he keep his job? And there has been quotes from Craig Fitzgibbon to say that, to suggest that they wanted to give Kale Iro this opportunity, and Talakai's happy to be on the bench and to fill in roles and stuff. Probably the downside is they do have a lot of forwards to come back. So like Dale Finucane, for example, I wouldn't actually pick in the 17, but I don't see them not picking him in the 17. And likewise, Hamlin Uele has been a starter for them. He's arguably their alpha prop, and he's going to come back in the rotation probably next week, if not the week after. Now, when all that happens, they're going to have to fit those guys on the bench, and it just may not make any sense to have Talakai on the bench anymore. If that happens, I don't see them dropping Talakai out of the 17, and they'll have some tough decisions to make. So if they need to make way on the bench, there is a chance that Talakai goes in the centre. I don't think that that will happen if I guessed. I think that Iro has waited long enough, and I think that he's shown defensively and attacking that he's a player for the centres for the future for the Sharkies. So I reckon they'll leave him there. And if they do, he's making so much money at the moment that he's probably not going to bottom out really for 5 or 6 weeks. And that's actually going to get him to round 13 as well, where he can play the first buy against Parramatta. So there's every box ticked for him. Just job security isn't quite 100%, but it is still pretty high for him. And the downside, the worst thing that can happen is he gets dropped and you cash out 120K and sell him to someone else and it's fine, because you know sometimes you wait 5 or 6 weeks for that to happen with players and we're happy about it. So Iro, don't think about it too much. I think that we overthink things sometimes. he's in this week, he's playing this week. As long as that happens and he's starting centre for this week, then you want him in your side. Angus Crichton. I really wanted him last week, but I just didn't have enough trades, so I couldn't do it. He ended up going gangbusters with a 79. Actually got downgraded because he lost a try assist. 83 and 79 last 2 weeks, where he's two only 80-minute games so far this season. So pretty impressive, and it's even more impressive when you delve into the numbers. At 459,000, he's still value, and it's what I said last week. Like, if I'm going to wait and pay an extra 30K just to see that he is going to play 80 minutes going forward, and I'm then going to just pay the increased price. I'm going to pay the 459K this week to get him in. Minus 22 break even, that's nice. But the impressive thing with him is the last 2 weeks, despite the good scores, the best numbers for him are the fact that his base is so high. He has base 59 and 65 the last 2 weeks. That's not base attack. That is his raw base, just his tackles and runs. 59 and 65. That's incredible. It's back to vintage Angus. The other thing that was back to vintage Angus as well is that he's averaged 9 points a game the last 2 weeks while playing 80 minutes in his tackle breaks and offloads. So he's got a floor at the moment that's sort of around 70. Now, that is peak Angus. I don't know whether we're going to get peak Angus, but I will say he is only 28 years old. So, I mean, I think that we think that he's older than he is because he's been around for so long. He could easily get back to peak Angus. And if he does, he's not only a great buy at this price at 459,000, he's going to play round 13 for the first big buy, but he's actually going to be a keeper if he can get back to that. Will he? I'm 50-50 on it. I'm not sure. But he's a really good purchase. Teams should definitely be looking at him as the number one second row forward option if they need one at the moment for this week. Does have a nice St. George matchup after this week as well. Moving right along. Tamari Martin for the New Zealand Warriors. Minus 59 break even is really good. He's only 5% of teams. He's 5'8 fullback only though. Now, he scored 98 and 72 the first two games, which is exceptional. And he's got the best two-game run out of any club playing the Dragons and the Gold Coast Titans the next 2 weeks. Ticks every box, right? The issue is that you have to pick and choose your cheapies now. And I think it is harder based on position. So at 5'8", for example, a lot of people have Galvin and say Dylan Brown. I've got Dylan Brown. That makes it a little bit difficult. I would not sell Dylan Brown or Galvin, obviously, to get him in this week when I can get an Iro in and then just get points elsewhere. Likewise, there's no way I'm selling a fullback to him. So if you don't have two gun fullbacks, you should be buying a second gun fullback this week because there is too many good options between the Pongas, between the Turbos, between the Drinkwaters. There's too many guys that are scoring really well at the moment and too high a ceiling for you to miss out on those elite points. So I couldn't possibly buy him at fullback. And I think 5'8 is very problematic. Now, if you're a team set up that has Strange and Galvin at 6, then that's an easy one because you could sell, say, Bostock or Hemmer and move Strange to the centres and start Tamari Martin the next 2 weeks. And that works out perfect. So it's a much stronger buy for those teams that are set up like that. And I do think that it is a good buy because you can get points and also money out of it. But if you're not set up like that, like I wouldn't be trading out someone like Dylan Brown who started to get a bit better for Martin when Martin doesn't play that big round 13 buy anyway and Brown does. And Brown's actually, you know, going to start making his money back and has a much better ceiling than what I think TMM does. So he's not a must buy. I wouldn't be scrambling to get him in. He is a very good buy though still, especially with the matchups. Less of a good buy, Bronson Cherry. 7% of teams. Big difference between the other cashies that we've spoken about. He's a mid-range guy that's going to cost you $345,000. But he's only got a minus 12 break even. And he's only played two games this year. And I thought he was impressive last week. They kept going to him and he was scoring well against Melbourne. He ended up with 87. But the first week, he only ended up with 31. Now, in each of those weeks, he's only got 29 and 31 in raw base. He does seem to have a pretty low floor. The reason that he scored so well last week is that he absolutely blitzed it in his base attack. He had so many tackle breaks, it was ridiculous. 34 points last week out of that 87 in his tackle breaks offload. That's insane. He also had two try assists as well. So he was killing it last week. He was really carving up that edge for Melbourne. It's just that you see that first game with him and you think last week might be an anomaly, and I tend to agree. And look, if he has that first game again, he makes very little money and he's got a positive break-even, not a negative break-even. Biggest thing, though, Newcastle away isn't easy for them. It's not the worst matchup. It's not the best. But then he's got a bye. So, I mean, he plays one game in the next 2 weeks. You've got all these other cash cows to choose from, or money makers, mid-range guys. And he just doesn't compete with those guys at all. So if you want to make money, you should be going elsewhere from Bronson Cherry to some of these other options. And if you want to score points, you should be going elsewhere from Bronson Cherry into some of these other options, because it just doesn't make any sense. So look, he could bust out and maybe be this superstar and play more like he did last week each week. The Dogs are certainly getting better. I just very much doubt it. And we've seen Bronson Cherry before. He wasn't a gun when he was in the league before. And I just don't think that's going to really happen at this point. I'm sure he'll make some money. I don't think it's worth it at all when there's other better options around. Moving down the list, Joey Manu. Bit of a controversial opinion on this one. I don't love buying him now. He's now $108,000 more than his starting price. I just think that it is his kind of chasing points. He's now gone back-to-back tons with 108, 117. He doesn't have you've missed out on a couple of good matchups there. He doesn't have the fullback jersey this week. He doesn't have the Bulldogs that he's playing in a good matchup. He's got the Melbourne Storm away at Amy Park. He's got the Melbourne Storm at Allianz, I should say. But that's a tough matchup, and he's back at centre. The next week, it's a good matchup, sure, against the Dragons, but then he's away at Suncorp versus the Broncos, then he's got the Warriors, then he's got the Sharks. It's not the greatest Roosters run, and he's going to be back at centre. So, I mean, he'll score fine. He's not going to score badly. But when you're paying $760,000 and you're chasing the last couple of weeks' points, I just think that you're going to be pretty disappointed, and there's probably some better options that you could go for. Shawnee Johnson, he went well last week. I was pretty worried about him. Versus South and Manly, with how South especially was playing. South went the 112 and against Manly went the 95. So last 2 weeks he's gone great. I didn't think that he started the season well. His first 4 weeks were pretty average for him. But he's now hit another gear going into a couple of good matchups. So $751,000. It's a $42,000 discount on his starting price. He's only in 17% of the teams at the moment. Nathan Cleary isn't named to come back this week. And certainly I think that there's an argument with the Panthers playing away at the Cowboys next round in round 8 that you could maybe miss Nathan Cleary's first game back and buy somebody for 2 weeks. I really liked Hughes last week for 2 weeks. He didn't go very well. But now that we're looking at 2 weeks ahead now, we've got confirmation that Nathan Cleary definitely isn't playing this week. I do like SJ because he's got the Dragons and he's also got the Titans. So that's a really good matchup double for him. He's also got a low enough break even at 23 where he could actually make some decent coin and make it an easier bridge to go from him to Cleary in a few weeks. So it makes a lot of sense to look at SJ. I would just add, though, that he has been scoring a fair few tries with that South Sydney score, which is his only ton this year. He needed 2 tries to get to 112. He's not getting as many try assists and line break assists as he was last year in his career season. But he does have, obviously, the goal kicking back and a really good 2 weeks. I will mention at this point, even though he's not in the top 10, I am considering another halfback instead of Shawn Johnson. And it's a bit of a pod play. 5% ownership for Daly Cherry Evans. And he has gone back-to-back tons. 128 and 103. Now, people will say, look, he was doing some goal kicking. He sure was, but he's also scoring a lot of tries. He's got a few tries the last couple of weeks. And even though Garrick is back, he's still got good scores this year, round 4. Even going back more than a couple of weeks, he had 83 points against the Dragons. And he's really hitting his straps into the best matchup of the round against the Gold Coast Titans. Talk about low break-evens, right? He's got an 11 break-even. So he's got the lowest break-even out of any halfback option for the next couple of weeks. And he does still play the Gold Coast Titans. Now, the second game is actually a pretty good matchup. He's at home versus the Parramatta Eels. And versus the Parramatta Eels, he's gone well before. He's got a max score of 133. And that's in the top half a dozen scores that he's had. So certainly he hasn't had the goal kicking then, and he's done plenty of times without the goal kicking. So I'm not that put off by that. If you've got money to burn like I do, I think that it's a pretty even call between DCE and SJ. And it might be the case that DCE outscores SJ this week and SJ outscores DCE next week because they're each playing the Gold Coast Titans on alternative weeks. So sorry, Titans fans, but you are the number one matchup for Supercoach. But I do think that DCE is a really good option. He's averaging 76 this year so far. He averaged 77 last year. And his floors are pretty good generally. So I do really like his run into that round 13 bye. Obviously, you might want to sell him before that. But if you want to hold him longer than the next 2 weeks, he's then got Canberra at home at Four Pines. And then he's away versus the Dolphins. So the next month of football for Manly is really good. I'm someone who doesn't own Turbo. And I've looked at the luxury trade of, look, do I do a Turbo rental for a few weeks and then trade him back to a Drinkwater or something like that? And I decided that I can't afford to do it. There's too many moves that I need to make to get a strong 17. But what I can do is say, look, who are these other Manly point scorers in my team that I can get that aren't Turbo that might be able to get bulk points in these matchups instead of Turbo? And one of them is DCE. So that's why I'm edging towards DCE. It's another reason why, as well, I'm edging towards someone who's actually fallen out of the top 10 most popular trades, was in it briefly, and that is Ruben Garrick. So I think that teams were looking at Ruben Garrick, and then they've shied away now because he's got a break even of around 140. And this is a really good case of sometimes you just have to ignore the break even and just go, look, I'm going to get in a guy that's going to give me bulk points, because Ruben Garrick has the ability to go close to 140 points. He's 696,000. He's only in 10% of teams. Now that the trade market's actually cooled down on him from yesterday, he might only be in 11, 12% of teams by the time kickoff happens versus the Titans. And he's obviously goal-kicking versus them, and he scored 156 points against them before. The Manly Seagulls have carved the Gold Coast Titans previously, big time. One of his top five scores is against the Titans, and he averages 84 points a game against them. Obviously, that's on the wing, but we've seen that, you know, in the centres, he's going to have a higher base, and he's been pretty strong for the first month before he got knocked out with a 99, 54, 92, and 71 against much better opposition than the Titans. So I actually think that he's a smoky captaincy option if you want to chase like I do. He's not owned by many people. I can't see him going below 70, so he's got a good floor. And I can certainly see him going 120-plus if he ends up carving up the Titans. People aren't trading him in. I think the more people should be, just ignore the BE. He can make that back up, and he's got a good run over the next month, so you can actually hold him, score bulk points for a month, and make any money back that he might drop as well. So really like Ruben Garrick as a bit of a pod play this week. But going along, we've also got another warrior in here, aside from SJ, that people are jumping on because of their good draw the next couple of weeks, and that is Charles Nicol-Kloksad. So CNK, injured at the start of the season, only in 2% of teams, but he's come back gangbusters, 88 and 96 points the first 2 weeks. Look, I just have to give CNK and the Warriors some love. He has gone fantastic. There is no way around that. I don't want to sound like that I'm down on him. He's had a base of 42 and 62. Played the extra 10 minutes in Golden Point on the weekend for that draw with Manly. Had 62 in raw base. That is phenomenal. He hasn't scored a try yet. He's going to get one the next 2 weeks, I reckon. But it's just one of those things where, unfortunately, the position he's had as fullback, if you're spending money at fullback, Kalen Ponga's going to score more. Turbo's going to score more. I'm shit scared not to own Turbo this week. If I had the luxury of making a fullback trade, he'd be in straight away. And Drinkwater has been on fire. You know, there is just too many good fullbacks to say I'm going to get Nicol-Kloksad in after two games of playing well. I just don't think positionally you can afford to do it. CNK could average 85 points the next 2 weeks, and it still might be the fourth or fifth best average among fullbacks. So there's no point in doing it if there's better options that you could buy instead. And that's as simple as that for CNK, unfortunately. Next guy to talk about. Oh, we've got some activity here on the traded market, that's for sure. It's just flipped over and changed again on me. Jeez. Galvin's getting brought in. I still think that Galvin's a good option. He's got a negative break even, and it's a minus 43, and he's actually edging towards showing that he might actually be a gun for this year and average 60 plus. In saying that, you know, do you have to do it? No. If you want a quick cash grab and to get rid of them in a couple of weeks, you might actually be better off in this instance if you're already missed out on Galvin's 107.5k price rise to actually get in TMM. at the Warriors because you can have 2 weeks of better matchups. You know, the Tigers have to play Penrith Panthers this week. It's a tough one. I wouldn't actually start Galvin against Penrith. And you could make more money over the next 2 weeks and be able to start TMM and get better points as well. So as a 5-8 option, like, I don't mind buying Galvin at this point. I still think that he's going to make another 100K pretty easily. But it might not be the best short-term buy if you're looking at money now that you've missed out on some cash. Zach Lomax, this one's pretty polarizing. He's only in 8% of teams. He's got a 26 break even. He's killed it this year. 108, 44, 98, 51, 112, 93. There is no denying that this is a full-on breakout year for Zach Lomax. And I will say, even though people think the Warriors are going to belt the Dragons, it is at Wynn Stadium, so it is a bit of a travel for the Warriors. It might not be as easy as people think. Lomax is $755,000, though. It's a lot of money to spend. He has shown that he's worth it. I think the issue is, though, that the great scoring that we've seen from him has all been on the wing this year, and he's named to start at centre this week. I think that's a big deal. Yeah, he's work it on the wing, and his scoring opportunity on the wing has increased immensely. He wasn't getting very much clutch attack at all at centre. Now, there is a chance that he continues on because he's in great form. He's got confidence. They're going to him a bit. I don't think it will be as good at centre. And you're going to have 4 weeks out of him where he's going to play versus the Warriors, versus the Roosters, versus the Sharks, and versus Souths before he has a round 11 bye. I don't think it's the best matchup for him. If you wanted to start with a Zach Lomax, you would have killed it because he started off with a really good draw. That draw's sort of gone away a bit now, and now you're paying a really premium price for him, and he's playing at centre at the moment. So I just think there's a few red flags there at that price point. I'd 100% rather be buying a Ruben Garrick. I'd 100% rather be buying some other centre wing options as well. So I don't think he's a bad buy. He's certainly got a great floor now, and he's playing great. Not a bad buy at all. I just prefer other options when it comes down to it if I'm picking a centre wing for this week. Xavier Willison. Look, Willison was a guy that I started with when I first made my team, and I was really big on him being able to get a few extra minutes off the bench and his ability to score tries and get attack. Started off on the outer at the Broncos, worked his way into the side, and has now gone great. His first three games, 51, 35 and 80. Particularly encouraging was last week he got 41 minutes, and that's what you want. You want him at 40 plus minutes. And if he does that, he should be good for pretty close to 50-plus points. He has got a minus 12 break-even. He's already made $71,000 this week. So, I mean, I think that he was an opportune buy to get in last week. But if he didn't, I do think that he's still an option because I still think there's some upside in him. But that is all the traded in market as well. So that is our trade market ahead of round 7. Do need to mention a recent partner of the All Stars podcast in Bonus Bank. Bonusbank.com.au you can go to right now. Australia's number one side hustle. What they do is show you how you can make a guaranteed tax-free income by using different betting tools and betting calculators and betting options. They have information from hundreds of different bookmakers where you can use their different promos and bonus bets to make a guaranteed income, and they show you exactly how. They've got a range of membership options as well where you can go sign on for free to test them out, or start to pay for a membership on a monthly subscription, and you get all the tools when you start to do that. And I tell you, like, they'll show you exact ways how to make money. It is really cool. It's great if you're into your gambling as a bit of a hobby. Obviously, don't go over the top with your gambling and do it responsibly, but if you like to get into it, then they're a great subscription service that you can jump on. So bonusbank.com.au, if you do jump on them, make sure you use ALLSTARS as your promo code, because they can give you some straight up good offers if you use that as your promo code when you sign up. So maybe do that today. Have a look, test them out and see what you think. But bonusbank.com.au, they are fantastic. Love the site, love the tools that they have. Go and jump on them today. Continuing on, we now need to look at TLT. Machine gun here. We're going to go through it real quick. The Roosters versus Storm, straight up. I love that Tedesco is back for them. There is not really a huge amount of other news for the Roosters or for the Storm. I am pretty worried about this one. There's been some pretty dour contests between the Roosters and the Storm previously. The Storm have got their full team back. I'm not going to be going near it for VC or C's, but potentially some people might want to throw a smoky Manu vice-captain on. I'm not particularly into it. He has shown a couple of decent scores against the Storm in the past, but he has never tonned against them. So that is one thing to take into account if you're looking at that. Teddy is pretty much the same. I don't think a lot of people own Tedesco, and the Storm big guns have been pretty hit and miss. Moving along, though, this second game, it's the Dragons versus the Warriors. This does have some big VC potential. I do like Sean Johnson quite a bit as a VC option. It makes it really easy to loop if he does have a big game because it is the second game of the round. So that is really appealing. I would just point out, though, like I said before, this is at Wynn Stadium. If it was in New Zealand, I think that Sean Johnson might even be a straight C option as well. But coming away to Wynn, it is a pretty tough travel to go to Wollongong from New Zealand. So I don't know whether the Dragons are really going to allow the Warriors to put it on them as much as what people think. This would not surprise me if it was a grinding 22-18 type of performance. You know, and we kind of saw that a little bit last week with the Warriors where they drew 22 or with Manly. It wouldn't surprise me if it's a similar type of game this week, which isn't going to be great for a straight captaincy. It is going to be great to own some of these players potentially, though. I could see a real big pod play coming off with DWZ. So, Watani Zalesniak is 713,000, and he's just coming off a 91-point game versus Manly where he scored a double. He scored one other double this season as well, where he's got 99 points. So he's got two 90 pluses when he scores a double. Obviously, he's got a decent chance against the Dragons to throw a double down. He had that amazing game last year where the Dragons absolutely got pummeled by the Warriors, and he scored 175 points, which is his career high. So I think last year, one of the issues with Watani Zalesniak is that I mentioned several times he hasn't shown in the past that he's got a really big ceiling. Last year, he did have a big ceiling. So he does have those 100 pluses in him if he's going off last year's form. And he did 175 points with four tries against the Dragons last year. So has that there. But even if he gets a double, which is very much on the cards this game, you're looking at 90 pluses a minimum, potential ton plus. So I quite like him as a bit of a pod play. But you're also looking at a bit longer term with him, right? Aside from this week's matchup, which bodes well based on the past, he's also got the Titans next week. I would be surprised if he doesn't score 2+ tries against the Titans. And that one's at home in New Zealand versus the Titans, which is massive. So I really like him as a pod player. I would actually buy him over Zach Lomax as well. And he's not owned by very many teams at all. But aside from that, let's move along and look at some other games. We've got the Eels versus the Dolphins. This one is in Darwin. Talangi, the cheapy Talangi, not Kelma Talangi, who is actually gone from the side, is on the bench. And I've seen teams selling him. He's got a break in with 6. So I sort of understand a little bit, but he is going to make some money straight away. Pretty much if he plays sort of 10 minutes, he'll make money. I am wondering, though, whether there will be a late change. I keep saying it, but Morgan Harper keeps sticking in this side. I would much prefer Blaze in at centre than Morgan Harper. And I think that side is a lot stronger. Whether they do that or not, look, they probably don't. But it is always a chance that we get a late change. And when that happens, if it happens, Talangi is actually going to make a lot more cash. And he's got a pretty good matchup versus the Dolphins this week. The Dolphins are actually going to be debuting Trey Fuller at fullback. Now, he's obviously got big wraps on him, but having no hammer is going to really hurt him. So I'm looking at this going, look, this Dolphins side... They're coming up against an Eels side that's been underperforming a bit, but they've got the win that they got last week, which was Arcee's first game in the halves. I thought that that was a really good change for them. It could really help the scoring of the others. It's Dylan Brown's biggest score, scoring in the 80s last week. They do have Bryce Cartwright back, which can't be underestimated in helping out Dylan Brown as well and helping out the halves on that side. So I really like the Eels for this one, and I think that they could put on quite a few points. And if that happens, guys like Brown and... potentially Talangi if he actually starts, but also some of these other pod options, like if you've got a Clint Gutherson at the moment, or even you know, some of these other forwards, you know, they could be in for some big games in this one versus the Dolphins. So I wouldn't see or VC anyone in it, but there's certainly some really strong holds, I think. Penrith Panthers versus the West Tigers. We don't have any Nathan Cleary back. And that's going to hurt them a little bit, but Scott Sorensen returns, which I think really does help them quite a bit as well. Galvin returns for the Tigers, which is huge, but like I said, I actually wouldn't play him in this game. I think it's a bit of a tough one. They're playing at Bathurst, though, so at least it's not at Penrith, but I think the Penrith are going to have a huge amount of support at Bathurst. as far as captaincies and vice captaincies, look, we talked about Gutho as a bit of a pod VC or C option if you got him. There is teams with Dylan Edwards, and it has to be said that Edwards has started the season really well. Three out of his first five games, he's got a ton. 116, 120, and 119. Now, the other two, he does have pretty low ones at 40 and 56 for a gun fullback. But against the Tigers this week, if you own Dylan Edwards, I'd 100% consider putting the captaincy on him this week at Bathurst. He could very, very easily put up another ton and go three in a row. Is he a bit of a pod buy? Look, I still wouldn't put him over Ponga. I still wouldn't put him over Drinkwater. I still wouldn't put him over Turbo. So I couldn't do it. But if you own him, great. Don't sell him. Put the VC or the C on him, because that could be a huge pod play that rockets you this week. Gold Coast Titans versus Manly Seagulls. When we're talking about no-brainer captaincy, so if you have Tom Trbojevic, just put the C on him. I am so worried about no Turbo in my team this week, and it's going to be a really hard watch for me. He's got 82 and 111 in the last 2 weeks, which people have been disappointed about. But look, they're solid scores. He scored 208 points versus the Gold Coast Titans before. 208 points. And that's still only his third or fourth best score ever. But it's a huge ceiling he's got versus the Titans. He averages 112 versus them. 112 points in 12 appearances is his average versus the Gold Coast Titans. I would absolutely have to captain Turbo if I owned him. He should be easily the number one most captain player. And obviously, I've already mentioned the pod plays in this one. But the other guy I didn't mention as a buy is Ola Kuatu. Ola Kuatu shapes up as an amazing buy. He's going to be up against David Fifita, which I saw a couple of people mention. I wouldn't really care. He's got two out of his first six scores in the 90s, and they're both ones that he scored a try in. If he scores a try, which I think is pretty likely, he's going to go 90-plus in this one. He's got a 68 floor at the moment. His base attack is 68. That is phenomenal, and we're not talking about small sample size here. He has six games under his belt, so it's fair to say that mid-60s is his floor this year, and Ola Kuatu is an extremely good buy at 716,000 for the next couple of weeks. He'll tear up Parramatta as well. He'll tear up the next month. Two out of the next three are at Four Pines for Manly, and the one that isn't is away at the Gold Coast. So I love Ola Kuatu as a buy this week. People should be looking at him a lot more at the moment. Moving along to the next game, we've got the Broncos and the Canberra Raiders. Now, this one, Raiders, it's going to be a really good test for the Raiders, because they've had a few games at GIO Stadium. They've gotten away with one last week versus the Titans. They've been winning a lot of games. They deserve credit, but this one against the Broncos, this will really show whether they can compete with the top teams. When we're having a look at potential buys down the track, I mean, someone like Reece Walsh is getting really cheap. I'm just not sure whether he can compete enough with the other fullbacks at the moment to warrant a purchase. But someone else that's gotten really cheap is Hudson Young. He's still only 600K, even though he's gone up almost 50K in the last week. I actually looked at Tappany, though, and I have to say, with him, he's got the captaincy next to his name at the moment. And the last couple of weeks, he's gone 81, 55, 72 in points. It's a really good three-round average of 69. And it's no coincidence that his minutes have gone back up to almost 60 minutes a game. Over 60 minutes a game, I should say. He's played 68, 56, and 60 the last few weeks. His base minutes now should be at least high 50s. And that's what they're playing. That's normally what happens with him. And he's got a raw base of 52. He hasn't scored a try yet. He hasn't had hardly any clutch attack yet at all. He will be getting some clutch attack. He's got no try assists at the moment. He's going to get some. And against the Broncos this week, I do kind of like him to have a big game. If you are looking for one, like I've got Totola in my side as one of my front rowers that I would probably need to trade unless I start Hughes. And Tappany is definitely a consideration. They have the round 10 buy, so you have to be really careful, because if you've got 3-4 Raiders already and you put Tappany in, you're going to be really in a lot of trouble in round 10 when they've got the buy. But he is a premium option for round 13. So if you know you're going to move some of those other guys on, or you've only got two Raiders in your side, Tappany's a really good buy at the moment. 623K, he has bottomed out. You get him at a discount. And I think that he's got probably about 6 points upside on what his average is at the moment of 60. And you're going to want him for a 13 anyway. So I reckon that a front row forward buys, it's Fanua Blake and it's Tappany. And those are two really good considerations. And I think against the Broncos, I reckon he's going to step up this week. Moving right along, Bulldogs and Knights. This isn't at Newcastle. We do have Kalen Ponga named. Originally, I thought this was going to be a great captaincy option for Ponga. I still don't think it's a bad one, but he may not have the goal kicking. In fact, I think it's a pretty good chance that he won't, because he's got that hip issue that's going to be very painful, and it's going to be more painful each time you kick. So I would not be as keen on him without the goal kicking. I still think he can score 100+, so I wouldn't steer teams away from it. Just keep that in mind if you've got some other bigger options. Certainly if you've got Turbo, Turbo's a better option. The Bulldogs actually have been competing pretty hard lately. They've looked quite good comparatively to what they did at the start of the season. So I do like this one to be a competitive match. But as we've seen with Caelan Ponga, he's getting a line break every game. You know, he can't not get clutch attack, and he's going to do that against the against the Bulldogs. It's just a matter of how much. He may end up with a 75, which would be a bit underwhelming if he doesn't have the goal kicking, even if the Knights do well and put on points. So I like him as an option still. Just bear in mind, be wary. If you've got some of these other bigger options, it might be better to go that way. The Sharks and the Cowboys is the last game of the round. I'm going to be starting Iroh, like I mentioned. Low score of 46 out of a small sample size, but really, really good base. And the other thing on this one is that we do have a tougher matchup for the Cows, and we have seen them play better, well, score more points against the worst teams and still struggle at times in periods of those games, and they did lose to Parramatta last week. So it does shape up as a really interesting and difficult game travelling to PointsBet Stadium for them. Drinkwater's still been on fire. You know, he's gone 61, 144, 77, 105, and 62 the last five. That's a five-round average of 90 and a three-round average of 94. He scored a try four games straight, and he's actually scored five tries in the last four games. A crazy point-scoring run, crazy try-scoring run, but he's got that in him, and we saw that last year. Against the Sharkies, though, his high score's 85. He's scored 100-plus against the majority of teams in the NRL. He hasn't against the Sharkies, and he's only averaged 48. Now, that does include appearances where he was playing six or he wasn't playing full minutes and stuff, so you've got to take that with a grain of salt. But relative to the rest of his scores, which all also include that data, he still doesn't score well against the Sharks. Playing away, I'm expecting a strong, solid game from Drinkwater. I don't think that he's going to get to 90 or 100-plus, so and that's going to be a worry if you want to put a C on him, so I'm not going to do that. I'm a bit wary about the Cowboys this game in general. As far as Nicho Hynes goes, I doubled down with him 2 weeks in a row as captain. He went 94 and 82. They're not bad captaincies, but he's still waiting for his first ton. And he still hasn't scored a try either. So we're still waiting for his first try too. Against the Cowboys, he has scored 126 points before, and he's averaged 81 points. So I don't see it as a season where he's going to remain 66 points a game. I think that he's going to have some bigger ones. And I do tend to think that it's going to happen in one of his home games. I don't think the Cowboys have been that great defensively. Wouldn't surprise me if it's this week. It is a risky captaincy option, though. I'm not going to do it. I wouldn't talk anyone out of it, though, if they wanted to go full pod, because I don't think many will captain him. And eventually, Hynes is going to score a try. He's going to get bold clutch attack, and he's going to go 100+. And it can happen any week now. And the next 3 weeks, he's got two at home, out of the Cowboys, the Raiders, and the Dragons. So it is coming. He's a strong hold as well. Don't sell him. But as far as captaincy options go, I think that he's there as a real pod one. I'm going to go elsewhere, though. And that is going to be the podcast. So it's a bit of a faster one with the solo one today and with my time constraints. I apologise, but hopefully some people enjoyed a bit of a shorter one, because we always go for such a long time. You can find us everywhere, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify. Make sure you follow us on X, NRL underscore SC underscore Allstars. And hit up our sponsors. One of them that I didn't mention to everyone during the podcast was One World Courier. They're fantastic. If you own a business or you work for a business that has any shipping or freight, no matter how large or small, One World Courier will give you a great rate card straight away if you sign up now. They've got a platform that gives you the best rates on offer across several different courier or shipping services. And they can get you fixed up today with a great rate if you put All Stars as where you heard from, heard about them. So sign up today with them. Obviously, we've got both Picklebet as our betting partner and also bonusbank.com.au. Great side hustle with betting tools. You can jump on them and use All Stars as your promo codes as well, and they'll take great care of you as well. But we do have the Talkin' Footy podcast this week. Jump on it on Thursday, Friday. Listen to that. But if you're just after your Supercoach, we will be back next week. Until then, enjoy making all your moves, enjoy making all your decisions, enjoy your captaincy options, and most of all, enjoy your footy. We'll be back to chat again real soon.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get